We talked this morning in our morning message about the things that cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we talked about the difference between a normal Christian and an average Christian. The normal Christian life, we saw, is one that is going to be subjected to tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. And we know to varying degrees in different parts of the world those things are taking place among and against God's faithful children around the world. And we said, how would you consider yourself, a normal Christian or an average Christian? Jerry and I went to visit Cindy this afternoon at the hospital. Continue to pray for her. There's question on when she'll have this surgery done. Looks like it's not going to be tomorrow now, like they had thought it might be. They're still checking things out, so I know the Hogstons would appreciate your prayer. As Jerry and I walked back toward the car, we got down on the street level, and if you're familiar with the U of M hospital, when you're coming in from the elevators and the parking lot area there, you pass, there's a lot of just stuffed chairs that you pass before you get to the information desk to get your parking ticket validated and so on. And as we left, I'm going to say this was most likely a father and his son. Son, perhaps Nick's age. There among those chairs, and they had, it looked like their coats spread out on the floor in front of them, and they were down on their knees, and they were bowing and chanting as they were going down bowing. I thought about Daniel when I saw that he was not ashamed to pray like he had always done at the window when that law was passed that nobody could pray to their God for 30 days, and Daniel opened up his windows and prayed toward Jerusalem like he had always done. I don't think they were praying toward Jerusalem, and I don't think they were praying to our God. And the thought that just struck me is, I know there are a lot of folks of that religion in the Ann Arbor area, but that's the first time I have actually seen someone practicing their religion in a public place. Maybe you see it all the time. But the thought that struck me is they weren't ashamed. They weren't ashamed to let anybody that looked know that they were Muslims and they were worshiping their God. And then the thought strikes me, what about us that know the Lord as our personal Savior? How readily do we share our faith when we're out in the world? Let's look to the Lord, ask His blessing on our time now. Thank you, Father, that we have your word. Thank you for the challenges that we get from your word to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Lord, I pray that we might be as diligent in proclaiming our faith as that father and son were right there in the hospital lobby. They weren't trying to hide anything. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this evening. May we go away from here tonight having received a blessing from your word, truth to live by. And we just thank you for the time to gather here this evening, each one who has come. And we wait upon you for what you have for us now from your word, which lives and abides forever, and it will even outlast heaven and earth, because your word says that heaven and earth are going to pass away, but your word will never pass away. Thank you for that in your name. Amen. Andrew, jot down as a title, Tips to Live By. Tips to Live By. I think it's probably safe to say that we live in a day and age where, because everything is so instant and so condensed in these little electronic devices, that anything that takes any amount of time to really get a hold of, you've really got to be committed to take the time to read it. We like the short, quick, condensed version. Don't you think that's kind of the way this day and age is? And so a tip, when we talk about a tip to live by, maybe that'll appeal to someone, because usually when a person says, "Let me give you a tip," they're not going to take off their coat and begin to go into some great dissertation, but most likely they're going to give you some nugget of truth that hopefully will be a help and an encouragement to you. And that's what we're going to do this evening. We are not going to be like we are in our morning messages, in an expository fashion, just going verse by verse. But this evening is once again those that we're not even going to stay in one place. But we're going to pick a tip from two or three different spots in Scripture. And hopefully, when you leave this evening, you'll say, "That was good. I can put that in my pocket. I can use that. That's something that will be a help to me." Worthless or worthwhile? Two opposite possibilities for a person's life. You look around, you watch the news, you get out and about, and you realize that, boy, that person's life was really worthwhile. They have really made some great contributions. But then you hate to say it, but there are some that, because of wrong choices that they have made and the way that they have lived their life, it seems almost as if the gift of life that God has given them, they have done everything they can to destroy that, and their life ends up almost being, what was the point? It was just like their life was worthless. They didn't make any contribution. They didn't help. Are there things that a person can do or avoid to ensure that life is going to be at its best for them? I don't think there's anybody here that would like to say, "My life desire is to be worthless. I don't think there's anybody that would say, you know, I get up in the morning and that's all I can look forward to is how can I be worthless in this world around me? We want to be worthwhile. And especially if we know the Lord as our own personal Savior, we want our life to be worth something for His glory and for His cause. There are three references that we're going to look at. There are going to be three tips that are given, and there's going to be a result with each of those things. Now, how much simpler could it be for us this evening? Joshua chapter 1 is our first reference. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this great Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, that's the Mediterranean, shall be your border or your coast. God gave Joshua tremendous promises. I've mentioned it before over the years from time to time, what a daunting position Joshua found himself in. I know that he apprenticed under Moses' leadership, but Moses was one of God's greats. He had led successfully, following God, the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, had led them 40 years through the wilderness, and they were at the border, and it was all they had to do was basically just cross the Jordan River and they'd be there, and Moses died. And God said, my servant Moses is dead, and now I want you to take him in. And God gave Joshua tremendous promises. He said, every place that your foot walks on, I've given that to you, just like I told Moses. And he mentioned some of the geographic dimensions from here to there and so on. He says in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. And then, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I think that is one of the greatest passages of Scripture that the Lord gave to Joshua. Just think about what Joshua heard God telling him. Nobody is going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Nobody could withstand Moses. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Joshua knew how faithful God had been to Moses. All of those wilderness experiences, and Moses wasn't alone. Oh, Moses, he blew it on an occasion or two, didn't it? And one of those occasions cost him being able to personally lead the children of Israel into the promised land because he sinned against God. But God did not fail Moses. And these are not just idle words. What I'd like to suggest to you is if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, these are some good words to personalize yourself and bring them down to your own day by day experience. Oh, I'm not saying we have the position of Joshua to lead people in great exploits and great conquering of the land. But I would encourage you to take to heart the promises, just as I was with my servant Moses. I'm going to be with you. They say, well, that's taking scripture out of context. Then go to the New Testament and read those passages. I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. If you have trouble personalizing ones in the Old Testament, then go find the similar truth in the New Testament. And God has given us the promise of his unfailing presence and his help when we need him. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. How that must have impressed that young man's heart as he heard God telling them, Joshua, you're going to be the one that's going to distribute the inheritance. The inheritance that was promised to the forefathers that would one day belong to their descendants. You're going to be the one that's going to, and if you turn farther back in the book of Joshua, guess what? Did God keep his word or didn't he? Kept his word. You say, well, what's the tip we're getting there? In verse 7, he said, after all of these promises, now God begins to speak to him concerning his responsibility. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written for therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Joshua, you want to know how to have a worthwhile life? I just told you how. I've given you the reference here in Joshua 1. What's the tip? What tip did you think you picked up on in verse 7 and 8? If we could condense that, boil that down in a simple phrase, what might it be? Obey God and his word. Obey God's word. We saw it in verse 7. Be strong, be courageous. so that you might observe to do everything that is written in the law which Moses gave. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't try to say, well, this doesn't apply to me. I don't really think I want to do this. The words that God gave Joshua was, how much of the law was he to observe? Verse 7. Huh? All. There's a good tip for us. All of God's word. God has given us his word for a reason. This is to be how we grow. It is God's word through faith, through which faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we are to desire the sincere milk of the word that we might do what? Grow thereby. And it's God's intention that his own children obey his word, know his word, and the instruction that was given here in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Have my word on your lips, Joshua. Meditate in it day and night. When you're by yourself and maybe trying to go to sleep at night, do you ever meditate? Do you ever think about portions of Scripture? Do you ever review some of those verses, some of those promises? God said to Joshua, this is going to be the key to whether you're going to be worthwhile or worthless for me. It's what do you do with my word? Don't let it depart out of your mouth. Meditate in it day and night so that you might, what? Just be able to quote the verses and know what it says. Many times we kind of get proud of that, don't we? How many verses we can say. But what was it, what was to be connected with meditate in it day and night, Joshua, so that you might do what? Do it. So that you might observe to do according to all that's written therein. Take time to find out what God says. Read it. Spend time thinking about what the word means. Personalize it. Strive to do what the word says. And our third thing that we suggested with each of these tips was going to be what? There would be a reference, there would be a tip, and there would be a what? A result. And what is the result? Success. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. You don't need to raise your hand. Do you want to be a success at what you do in life? Do you want to be a success in the eyes of your Lord and Savior? Here's a tip. It starts with obedience to God's word. Not just knowledge of God's word. Sometimes I'm afraid we think because we read God's word, because we know what God's word says, that's all God requires of us. James puts that right out in the cold when he says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, knows what God's word says, and doeth it not, to him or her it is what? It's sin. So just reading and meditating in it, that's good that we can mark off and we get through the Bible in a year, but why are we doing that? It is to see, what is God asking of me, directing me in this portion of his word? Tip number one, obey God in his word. Well, let's turn to the second reference. That would be Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And boy, over the years, verses 5 and 6 have sure been quoted many, many, many times, haven't they? But there's our reference. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's our reference. We find ourselves and we say, boy, I want my life to count. I want my life to be worthwhile. I remember that Joshua 1 portion. Boy, that's important. And here's another one, Proverbs chapter 3. In verses 5 and 6, what's the tip? Trust whom? Trust God. Tip number one to Joshua was obey God and his word. Tip number two is trust God. Well, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Yeah, I know that's a real nice Christian sounding thing. You know, just tell God, Lord, this is what I'm planning on doing, and I'd just really like your blessing on it. The verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Let's stop right there. Do you think there's ever been a person that tends to lean on their own understanding and their own judgment? Would it be safe to say it's kind of a natural tendency that we all think that, hey, I'm smart, I've got eyes, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out what needs to be done here. Why bother God with this? I can see this and this and this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In Proverbs 28:26, it tells us this. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I didn't say that. God's word said that. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, that's pretty harsh words. It's a pretty serious thing for us to think that we don't need God and I can figure this out for myself. Why should I trust God? Can't I figure things out on my own? In Proverbs 14, verse 12, we read this. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. It seemed so good. It seemed like this is what I've been looking for. It seems right unto a man, but the end, the ways of death. Back a couple of Proverbs, Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 21, 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Even though they've been caught doing something dead wrong, and you start talking to them, and their words skillfully come out to justify what they are doing, and they will give you reason after reason why it was the right thing to do. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Why should I, like it says in our text here, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, not lean on my own understanding, in all my ways acknowledge him. What's that mean? To say, Lord, I want you to direct. I want to give this to you. This is what I'm thinking about, but I want you to show me yes or no. Is this what I ought? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. If you or I give God the reins, he will direct our paths. Why can't I trust myself? The prophet Jeremiah had a great answer to that question. In Jeremiah 10, verse 23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Yeah, but I'm different. You'd like to think so. Proverbs 20:24 tells us this. It says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? That's why we've got to lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways acknowledge him. Our goings are of the Lord. We are a fool if we think we can manage our life and go through things ourselves. And the second tip for success was what? Trust God. What was the result? If we trust God, he shall direct your paths. There's the result in verse 6 of Proverbs 3. Finally, one third portion, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, There are so many truths in this, but one of the prominent ones is verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Don't lay up treasures. Don't start hanging on to things. Don't get so caught up with materialism. But I need things. I've got to have. The Lord says, lay up for yourself instead treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Why would he say that? Because in the next verse he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The natural pursuits of life and the concerns of life the Lord said in verse 24, the problem is, no man can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here's what God says. I say to you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor for your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? God said, just take a look at the birds, the fowls. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store up in barns. And have you ever seen one of them go without? No, their Heavenly Father takes care of them. And the thing that the Lord was teaching is, the tendency is we think, we get so wrapped up in materialism. I've got to have, I've got to have, I've got to have. And here is what our Lord said. Verse 31, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat or what are we going to drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things to the Gentiles, the unsaved seek, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now here's the tip. Seek for you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow, verse 34. Tomorrow is going to take thought for the things of itself. Pursue godliness. That's our tip. What's the result? You will always have your needs met. You don't have to fret and stew and worry. God has promised, if your heart is on serving me and seeking my best for your life and my will for your life, and you obey my word, Joshua chapter 1, and you commit your way unto me and trust me with your life, you will see me provide. You will see me make your life successful. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it, these tips? Life at its best. Obedience to God, that brings success. Trust in God, he'll give you direction and guidance. If our priorities are right, God says, you'll always have enough. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father. We've quickly looked at these portions of Scripture, and we thank you for the promises. Yes, it's true that we picked out certain portions of Scripture, but we were pursuing a particular theme. How might our lives be worthwhile for your glory and honor? May we take to heart these tips. May we remember these portions of Scripture. May we put to practice the truth of Joshua 1, Proverbs 3, and Matthew 6. And we look to you, Lord, for the results. And we ask all this for your glory and honor in your name. Amen.